Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, today we're going to be talking a little bit about safety power. And that may sound a little bit silly, but in our world today, it is a sad statement that we have to go through many levels of paying attention to what's going on around us, whether we're male or female. But women especially have been victimized on many, many levels, and it is appropriate that my guest today, Richard Hart, he has put together a book called Keep Your Daughter Safe, 171 Ways Young Women Can Prevent Sexual Assault. And I want to say, this isn't just for the girls. It's a good thing. There's a lot of good information in here for adult women to be attentive to, and I think the more we can be educated, the more we can be alert to what's going on around us so that we can be safe in the best capacity possible, not coming from fear or apprehension, but being knowledgeable and being alert and aware. Richard Hart, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, it's a delight having you. You have an interesting background in that you have been, Richard, very much involved with criminal justice. In fact, you graduated with an AS in criminal justice at the age of 18, which is quite unusual.
Yep.
And you have been working with the aid to victims and witnesses and local police departments for a lot of years. And I have to say, was there a series of personal experiences with friends and or family that made you decide that you wanted to put down into print your observations? Or did you just say after a few years, it's about time somebody does this? And as a man, I think that's quite an accomplishment because lots of times guys just assume that if they're there, the gals are going to be fine. They don't have to worry about anything. And that's not the case. What made you decide you wanted to really be focused on this, Richard?
Well, it's funny you ask that, Donna, because that is the first question that I am always asked by anybody picking up the book.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the criminal science background, as you mentioned, but more importantly, about 8 or 9 years ago, there were a couple young women that were kidnapped near Los Angeles. Luckily, the story had a happy ending. About 3 or 4 years later, a model hopeful, 21-year-old model hopeful, was raped and killed. And I really, at that point, I thought, you know, I've got enough information in my head that I could have potentially prevented both of these if my information was out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to kind of just take a look in the mirror and say, you know, if I was not part of the solution, I had also become part of the problem by not sharing that information. So it really was just a knowing that I could put something together that would help women, and just sitting down and deciding to do it.
The subject of rape is one, I mean, we just have headlines just recently with the great personality of multi-billionaire, I guess he is, that was accused of this. And, of course, it was found that, from what I've been given to understand today, that these charges were made up because of various reasons. But regardless, this has been a subject that, I don't care how far back you go in history, where usually it was hush-hush. Now, in our generation, in our time frame, let me rephrase that, in our time frame, our environment has less tolerance for this than in most places in the world, which I think is good, because it used to be a woman, if she went into court, it was just hideous what she had to go through.
Yes.
Today, there's a bit of a difference. It's improved substantially, but it's still a long way from being where it should be. But I really liked one of the first things that you said in the book, and this is very important. Nothing gives a man the right to lay his hands upon a woman or a child. And it is very distressing to me that in many cultural environments, this is perfectly satisfactory. And in fact, in the United States, there were laws permitting men to beat women and or children. And I'm not talking about just spankings for kids. I'm talking about horrific beatings, that this was justified. This was the role of the male. And this is something that we haven't been in what I call this cultural dimension of making someone responsible for abuse and handling it accordingly. When did we start as a culture of people in the United States, with all of the ethnic diversity that we have, when did we start making it something that was not acceptable? Do you know?
You know, it really, oddly enough, it really didn't happen until women got the right to vote and they were actually looked at as real citizens and people mm-hmm. that had just as much rights as men in society. The bigger part of the problem, really, is that a lot of this, people still aren't aware how deep the problems go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a matter of fact, a recent blog post I put was titled, "Are Women Personal Property?" And, you know, we think of countries like the Middle East, countries in the Middle East, such as mm-hmm. Iran and places like that, that will treat women as second-class citizens. But in a world where a woman is being raped every 35 seconds, which is what it is in America, and sexual assaults probably double or triple that number, all of a sudden this blog post was talking about, you know, are women personal property in America, too? Because we mm-hmm. look at these other countries and they say, okay, women can't vote, they have to dress a certain way, etc. But at the same time, we still have abuse levels that exceed many other countries. And so, in one sense, we've become more aware, we've got prosecutors more likely to prosecute in situations. We have victims more likely to come forward because the way it was in the 60s and 70s, it was the victim that was on trial. And so there was mm-hmm. a switch or a turn probably in the mid-80s that at least finally led to women feeling somewhat comfortable to come forward and say, this is what happened to me, and I'm willing to go into court and testify.
Right, and I know that there's been quite a furor recently. I'm in the state of Washington, and apparently there was a woman that was cross-examined on the stand by the predator that violently assaulted her. And fortunately, she had enough character where she was able to stand up against it. But people were incensed because he had already brutalized her horribly.
Right.
And then to be permitted in a court of law to play the role of attorney and do it again psychologically, that it was just appalling. But these are things that go on. And you make a statement, too, that men do not understand that a good percentage of women view half of the population, which is male, as potential predators.
Yes.
Now, this is something that women often teach. We have reached a state of affairs where there is this, you are going to be brutalized type of attitude. I've seen it in my counseling with many women. I'm seeing an apprehensive. I've seen it through the years. And this should not be. How can this change? What can be done? We've gotten so that women, when they have a man offer to help them, they're terrified. They just, and the man may be very, very sincere and may not be wanting to brutalize them, but they're terrified that this is going to happen. How do we change that?
Yeah, absolutely. And the worst part is I've gotten caught in that myself, where I've stopped to help a stopped motorist somewhere where mm-hmm. there's an issue with a car or something. And as soon as I see that there's a woman behind the wheel, I'm thinking to myself, you know, she's not going to open her window. She's not going to accept my help. And I totally understand that. I cannot look at her and feel bad in any way other than this, what you call societal shift, where a woman would look at some man that's actually coming out to try to help her and still be forced to turn him down because she's afraid of some type of attack.
Mm-hmm.
It really requires almost a complete paradigm shift in how women are viewed by men. And at such a point in time that women can stop worrying. See, again, in a world where 50% of all women, and that number is actually low, but it's the one I quote because the Department of Justice backs up that statistic, In a world of 50% sexual and physical assaults against women, women have a right to be afraid of virtually all men. And it's completely understandable. The problem is, until there's a generational shift in that mentality of it's okay to abuse women, they will always continue to look at men in that manner. And I keep hoping that each new generation of men that come up through the years, that they will stop doing many of the things that they're being accused of doing. And the problem is that this matter just seems to keep on perpetuating itself. I mean, even in the college environment, colleges are extremely aware of the fact that roughly 20 to 25% of all young women will be raped or sexually assaulted during their 10 years as students. They all know that statistic. It's well known. Yet they do not tell parents about it. They don't tell the students about it. And so we just kind of brush this stuff under the rug, which is part of the problem until everybody sits back and looks at it. And I use this as an example, Donna. You go to your shopping mall and you know, you see those signs that say not responsible for stolen cars or not responsible for thefts. We see it all the time. And you shrug your shoulders because it's no different than the signs we see at a car wash that say not responsible for torn antennas. And you go, okay, that's fine. But picture that you drive your car into that shopping mall and the sign says not responsible for stolen cars. And by the way, 25% of all the cars that park on our lot will be stolen. Are you parking on that parking lot?
Not likely.
Not a chance. Mm-hmm. If there's 1 in 4 chance that your car is going to be stolen, and I honestly believe that if parents knew that 20 to 25% of their daughters were going to be raped or sexually assaulted, there's not a chance in this world they'd let them attend these colleges. But the problem is, it's not brought up, it's not talked about, and so therefore the parents don't even know these statistics. The girls go there, they're victimized, and again, the crime is perpetuating itself.
You'd have a section in your book, Keep Your Daughter Safe, The Vast Repercussions of Sexual Assault. And this information was just amazing to me. I can't say that it's a surprise, but I think the numbers were just overwhelming. Most of the rapes that occur are done by someone that the victim knows.
That's correct. Where
the percentage is just phenomenally high. The rape by a stranger is a very small percentage. So that's
yes.
The one aspect. But another statistic that you had, 31% of women identified as rape victims had contemplated suicide.
Yes.
At some point after the attack, and it's 13 times higher, the suicide rate because of this, 13 times higher than women that haven't been assaulted at all.
Correct.
And those are big numbers, relatively.
They're huge, and that, again, and that's throughout the population. There were extensive studies done on this in the 90s that supported these statistics. And it's not like they were pulled out of thin air. They're real. And when you look at them, you've got women that have been raped are 26 times more likely to have an alcohol problem. They're more likely to have drug problems. They have relationship problems. I mean, it's so far beyond what people think, because it truly is an invasion of every part of a woman, not just her body, but mentally, et cetera. And it takes a huge toll. I mean, it's just beyond what most people understand.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Also, you talk about the disassociation process that goes on, which enables women to survive whatever the assault is, but it's a disassociation. And you talk about a psychogenic amnesia.
Yes.
And this, I know very much, is real. There is this, we'll slip it off into the subconscious somewhere, we'll ignore it, we'll just go about our world, but it affects a female very, very strongly. And
absolutely.
It's very intense, and this is something that it is very difficult for a lot of men to understand. But let's say a guy's dating a gal, and he can't figure out, like, there's something wrong, and he can't put his finger on it.
Right.
And that female could very easily have been assaulted by someone or gone through some challenges, and it really makes it tough for the guy because he's trying to figure out what's going on, and she's not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I think the stigma of shame that so often is put upon the female, and it's superimposed by cultural aspects.
Yes.
And I don't care what the background is or what the ethnic group is. I've seen it too many times.
Right.
And it really colors it, and so they hide it. And then it creates major problems. What would you recommend to someone who might be listening now that has had something like this so that perhaps they can get past this? This is something you're never going to forget. But you want to have a healthy life. You don't want to have a life that's going to be crippled and distorted by this tragedy.
Right, and that's so important, Donna. And some of these women, they don't even realize that this is what they've done, because it's happening at such a deep subconscious level that they don't know when they're going into a panic attack or when they're reacting to a new boyfriend. They don't even understand it themselves. And what happens is about 42% of all victims of rape never tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that when they don't tell anybody, they don't get the help they need. And this is such a major intrusive type of crime to the body and to the psyche that it's absolutely essential that women go to a rape crisis center, that they talk to somebody about this, and that they get proper counseling. Because in our society, far too often, and I cannot tell you, just time and time and time again, I talk to women that they say at some level that they are blaming themselves. It
mm-hmm.
comes out either in how they're dressing, how they're treating their body, how they're speaking, but I see it over and over again where they are still saying, this was my fault. I could have stopped this. I could have done such and such. I could have done such and such. And when you're second-guessing mm-hmm. yourself at that level, it drives you nuts, and you can't
really
function
does.
The way you need to function.
And now, go ahead.
Yeah.
You have a couple of myths that you bring up. It's following up right with what you're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
A myth, women who drink with the guys or dress provocatively are asking for it. And also, rapists and sexual predators are easy to spot. They fit a specific profile.
Right.
And another myth, women say no just because they've been raised or conditioned to do so. Women enjoy sex just as much as men. Therefore, no doesn't really mean no. I can't tell you that last one. How many times there have been those scenarios, and just a woman saying no isn't enough. Now, she might be giggling or whatever, but she doesn't want to there's all kinds of circumstances. Why is it it's so hard for males to get it in their head, especially younger males? But I've seen older males, too, that have this challenge.
Absolutely. And what part of what does make it so tough is a misunderstanding from the men's standpoint. And when we're talking about those types of things that you just mentioned, we're dealing with, again, situational assailants as opposed to a serial assailant. A serial assailant is a guy that's going out, his plan is to attack a woman. So that's
mm-hmm.
a serial assailant. A situational assailant is somebody that just because of how things are going, he's had too much to drink, the girl is dressed in a manner that gets him turned on, something like that, all of a sudden he starts behaving in an abnormal for his mental state. He starts behaving in an abnormal manner for him. And so now they've both been drinking, he hears no, but he's not really feeling it as no because she hasn't left the room, she hasn't changed the environment. It's
mm-hmm.
just like, no, I'll continue to kiss you, but I don't want you going any further. And that's where a lot of this, what you'll call mistake, comes in, where men are saying, yeah, she says no, but she really means yes. It's just yes later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they keep forcing the issue. And then what happens is, I think the number is 75% of all attacks, the man is under the influence of drugs or alcohol, which is through the roof. That's
mm-hmm.
a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is this man is behaving in a manner that is not in a sober manner. And so the more she's saying no, the more, unless she's physically fighting him off, he's not paying attention to it because he's just not mentally there. He's been drinking. He's been drugging.
Mm-hmm.
And so these situations go bad because these men have already set the situation up to go bad. Am I making that clear?
Yes, you are, but also you brought out a very significant point, and that is the use of substances. And you make a very good point in your publication that one of the things that a female needs to be aware of, and when you're in college, there's a lot of parties, you do not ever take a drink from anyone.
Yeah.
Because this date rape stuff has just gone through the ceiling.
Right.
And more than that, the girls often are given a drug, and they don't even know that it's in the drink, and they're not paying attention. And the next thing they know, they find themselves somewhere. They've maybe been raped. And I know this is an ugly subject. This is something that a lot of people don't want to talk about.
Right.
But I think it is important to discuss it, because even mature women need to be aware of this. If they're dating, I mean, we have so many scenarios relative to internet dating and all kinds of things that go on, and it's not any different than it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. You need to be aware of what you're doing, where you're putting yourself, and pay attention, because alcohol and drugs are a signal for disaster. And I just love what you said in big print in your book. Once a dating situation begins heading in the wrong direction, it never improves.
And right.
That
and that
is the true statement.
Yeah, and it's huge, and thanks for pointing that out, because it's something I think I don't normally repeat myself in books that I write, and I think I repeated that statement 7 or 8 times in this book, because
mm-hmm.
what happens is, with women especially, there's the maternal and paternal instinct kind of going through their genetic coding. And what happens is, this guy is doing something, and he's behaving more aggressively than he should because he's been drinking, and the woman is wired. She's hardwired to think, I can handle this, it's okay, it's going to get better. She's wired that way. And so mm-hmm. instead of danger signals going off, her caretaker signals are going off. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
And it's huge, because we need the danger signals to be going off. She needs to mm-hmm. be looking at that saying, hold it, this guy is acting aggressively, he has been drinking, I got to get out of this house because it's going to get worse. And you know, again, this is not about pinning this crime on the victim. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about women saying, hold it, this is a situation that I remember reading about or hearing about. I need to leave this place now before things go in a direction I don't want them going.
Right, and I think it's very important for young women. Again, any woman should read this. And I think the men that are listening to the show, if they have young women in the family, if they have nieces, if you have employees, this is something that needs to be passed along, because if you're alert and aware and educated, you can keep yourself out of situations. Now, you talk about parking lots. You say the vast majority of unknown assailant abductions take place in parking lots. And
yes.
It wasn't all that long ago. I was sharing a story about a young woman who was abducted, put in the trunk of a car. This was about a month ago. And
right.
she had military training, so she knew how to handle certain things. But the police officers told her, gee, you're lucky. You don't know how lucky you are, because most of the time people don't make it out alive with this kind of a situation.
Correct.
Parking lots. Let's talk about some tips in
sure.
parking lots that women need to be aware of.
Okay. So the biggest thing with parking lots is just that, and people do this, not just women, but everybody in general does this. We're kind of preoccupied. We're all on our cell phones these days. We're either talking or texting. We're not really paying attention, especially during the holidays. It's even worse, because now people are bundled up with groceries. They may not remember where they parked the car. It really is important to be getting in a parking lot situation. First of all, let's use daylight. The idea is to get to your car, get in, get it locked, and get it moving as quickly as possible. If it's dark, my attitude is there's mall security. Unless I'm parked right near the front doors, I would probably be asking mall security to walk me to the car, because there's nothing wrong with it. At this time of year, it's not just about, like I said, assailants. It's about robbers. It's about all kinds of other people that are out on the streets, because they know it's getting darker earlier. People are preoccupied with shopping. They've got a lot more going on in their heads than normal. But it's about awareness. If your car is parked next to a paneled van, or a van that has extremely tinted windows, you know, that's when you got to have that red flag go up and say, you know, that van wasn't here when I parked. I'm just going to have somebody make sure I get into my car okay. Mm-hmm. But it's this talk, and the worst thing is these cell phones, because people are just walking through the lot chatting. They're not paying attention to anything, not their surroundings, not the cars that are parked near them, not the people that are hanging around. And those are the recipes for disaster, because, like I said, the stranger abductions usually happen in parking lots because they're such easy hunting grounds for these predators.
One of the tips that you give, and you give many tips, one of them, you say you're required by law to have your registration in your car. It does
Yes.
not have to be the original document. Make a copy of the registration, black out the street address, then copy it again. Keep the blacked out copy in the car to present to law enforcement. If
Right.
someone should break into your car, or a parking attendant likes what he sees, and you put that in quotes,
Yep.
there's no way of tracking you back to your residence.
Right.
I thought that was really a very good suggestion, because so many times you go to events, people are parking the car, and you don't give it a second thought. And here you've got all this information perhaps in your glove compartment about where you live and
right.
all of that. And it's just a very simple thing to take care of.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that one up, because there's about, I'd say in this book, Donna, about 25, maybe 30% of this book is information that you cannot find anywhere else. You can't find it on the internet. You're not going to hear it in public talks. The police departments don't talk about it. The colleges don't talk about it. A lot of this book is personal insights from my experience and my just living life. And
mm-hmm.
and there are things that are like that. I've never heard that one before, and you know, now that it's in the book, I hear it being spoken from time to time. But something as simple as blacking out your address, which I actually have my address blacked out on my registration, just because, again, if I go out to dinner, those people know I'm going to be in the restaurant for the next couple of hours, and
mm-hmm.
so I don't want them going to my house knowing that I'm already out of the house. And as a matter of fact, one of my printers that actually was responsible for printing the book, he, when I went to pick up the copies, he said, "Richard, you know, this is an amazing crime prevention booklet." He said,
right.
not just about women's safety, but about safety in general. And I said, "Absolutely. The problem is that crimes that are committed against women, when a man is robbed, they want our watch, they want our wallet, they leave. When a woman is robbed, those can very easily turn into sexual assaults, and that's the dimension of a crime being added on top or stacked on top of another crime that doesn't happen to men."
Mm-hmm.
And so even though you say crime prevention book, well, what's a crime prevention book? The idea is if you can avoid becoming a victim of a crime, there's also a simultaneous for benefit to women, because they can now also potentially avoid becoming victims of a sexual assault resulting from an actual criminal event.
You make a comment about not taking a shower, taking baths, or sleeping with doors unlocked or
right.
your sliding doors open. You're completely defenseless while engaged in these activities. A very dear, dear friend of mine was on a vacation, and she and her husband were in a room, and they had left the sliding doors open. Now, fortunately, and she was in taking a shower, her husband had left the room to go someplace, and they were robbed. Now, she was
yes.
not assaulted, but she came out, and all other stuff was gone.
Right.
And she said it was one of the most awful experiences, and then she was just terrified because she thought, I was taking a shower. And
yeah.
So you have these things that can happen to a friend or whatever, and I know, Richard, we're coming close to the end of our time together, but I really think that your book brings out so many important points of information. If you travel, there are things that you need to be aware of. I know that sometimes when I've traveled, there have been people that have followed me or whatever, but you do have to pay attention as to what's going on around you, wherever you're staying, whatever you're doing. Get to know the people that work at the place. Pay attention. Be visible.
Right.
Don't be insignificant. It really is a plus. Richard, what is your website? You have, again, there's so much good information in here. There's no way we can cover it
yeah.
in our time together today, all of it. But boy, this is a must read for women, and I think men also. I think it's a very good book for just about anybody to pick up
thank
and
you.
Read.
Yeah, thank you. The easiest website to remember is just endingrape.com. endingrape.org. Actually, .com will take you there also, endingrape.org. It's got information, a lot more information about things we've discussed here. It also has resources to be able to access copies of the book and things like that. So that's the best website.
Well, I know that Tanya Brown, who is the sister of Nicole Brown Simpson, said that this is a must-read for every woman in America.
Yes.
And, of course, with their family tragedy and the horrific circumstances around Nicole Simpson's death,
right,
was just appalling. And this is something we need to be aware of. And I think dealing with this kind of violence, and the men, I think, need to be about teaching other young men, adults like yourself, that this is not something that's acceptable. And that's the only way I see it changing, and women need to know that this is not acceptable either. And
yep,
they do have to take action against the people that perpetuate this.
Right.
Richard Hart has been my guest. His very, very good book is Keep Your Daughter Safe, 171 Ways Young Women Can Prevent Sexual Assault. But there's a lot of good details in there, and I'd recommend it for anyone. Richard, thank you for being my guest. I wish you a happy holiday season, and keep up your good work.
Thank you so much, Donna. Have a great day.
You too, sir. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Check out endingrape.org. Richard Hart. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna. And welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me today, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And don't forget, if you have a paranormal story, we have until January the 2nd, you can send me your story, and I'm putting together material for a book, and I'm aiming for 100 stories, and my file is getting thicker and thicker, and I'd love to have your story if it's an out-of-body experience, or maybe you have had visits from someone on the other side. What is it that happened in your life that made the changes for you? And that can really make a difference. And the reason I'm putting the book together is that I think every time we can share our information with someone, we are going to be able to make the paranormal really something that's not going to be considered anything but normal and natural. Donna Sebo here again. You can give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. If you're a first-time listener, all I need is your first name or your initial. After that, I like to always know where you're calling in from. And then I'll give you what I perceive. And you can ask a question after I'm finished. Again, 888-815-9756. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? It's not that long. That's right. Before this ho-ho-ho time. Well, some people are still buzzing around trying to get their work done. And by work, I mean those presents. So many people today are shopping online, and there is a lot that you can get, but I think sometimes it's good to have customized gifts, you know, just making something a little bit extra special. Well, here are some points of information that you might want to check out if you're just thinking, what am I going to get somebody? Lots of times it can really be a challenge. Well, if you have someone that loves tea, do you know you can mix your own blend for more than 20 types of flavored teas, including cinnamon, pina colada, pecan, rum, and strawberry? Who knew that all these flavors were in tea? And I'm a tea buff. Well, I'll tell you what. There is a website you can go to, designatea.com, designatea.com. Now, their phone numbers, if you want to call them directly, 585-591-2479, and you can get 2 ounces of this tea. Maybe you wanted to give somebody a stocking stuffer or just something unique. Maybe you're going to be giving a gift at an exchange party. Lots of times in holiday parties, people like to exchange gifts. Maybe the limit is $10. Well, hey, you got it here, under $10. T-shirts. You can print a message and add images to T-shirts, hoodies, doggy shirts, and all kinds of stuffed animals. There's a customizedgirl.com, customizedgirl.com, and customlink.com, customlink.com. So you're looking at a price that's $20 or more. And, of course, if you wanted to get a gift card for someone, you can customize those, too. How do you do that? Giftcards.com. Giftcards.com. You can upload a favorite photo or pick something from their massive library they've got to print onto a Visa gift card, and it can be for as little as $4.95. It's amazing. Or it can be more than that, plus the value of the card. So gift cards really are something that's enjoyed by so many people. So just a few little tips there. You can find all kinds of things on the internet, and shipping fast and fabulous. This is Donna Sebo. We've got a listener on the line. We're going to be going and talking to that person. And if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-815-9756. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
My name's Penny. I'm calling from Oberlin, Ohio.
Penny, where's Oberlin, Ohio? I haven't had the opportunity to be much in Ohio.
It's outside of Cleveland. It's a college town, Oberlin College.
Oh, my goodness. You must have been interested in my guest then with him talking about colleges and the things that go on there. But regardless, let's get down to business with you, Penny. The first thing I'm looking at is that you've got a very good head on your shoulders, and you are seriously considering redesigning a career plan. And I would say you're right on the money. Your intuition is working overtime, and you are learning to trust yourself and the directions that you're wanting to explore. Be willing to give yourself a good year to get all of the nuances in place, because the choices that you're going to be making are going to involve a great deal of time commitment and diligence, perseverance, and consistency. And all of this is going to assist you in being able to design the type of position you yourself would like to enjoy. I think you'll be very successful with it. I think economically it'll take about 3 years to really reach the point of economic fluidity as you would like it to be. But I think your satisfaction in doing something that really means a lot to you is going to be absolutely awesome. Your personal life will be stable. You're going to feel like you have finally pressed out the wrinkles that have just irritated you through the last few years, and you're saying, okay, I now have things where I really want them to be. And it's all going to happen because of your due diligence and your thoughtful thinking through of what you need to do and then taking the appropriate action. Penny, what would you like to ask me today?
Well, you're talking about a career change, and I actually retired about 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you're
now
not going
I'm
to be
wondering if
on
I'm going to somehow decide to go back into the money-making market.
Yes, I think you will, but you're not going to be doing it just for making money. Not that
oh,
there's
no. well,
anything
I never
wrong
have.
With money. You're not. It's not. That's not going to be the issue. You're really going to think through the kind of environment that you want to be in. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have been one of these people that have been a coordinator for different businesses, and you would do things maybe for the community or a political party or whatever, and you were so good at it, and again, this is just an example, that people were just always depending on you, and you, when you left it behind, that's fine. Well, those skills have not disappeared. So you will want to bring them into an entirely different context than what you utilized before, but you're still using the skills that you so very expertly formed.
Hello?
And
Hello?
It's going to bring you a lot of satisfaction.
Okay. Sounds good.
Can you hear me? Yeah. So I think you are, and I think you're going to make a very good living with it, too. I think you're going to realize that that's going to be something that's very satisfying for you. And, of course, when you have that kind of financial fluidity, then you could do whatever you want with the money. It's up to you.
Sounds good. I hope it works.
Well, it will, because you're going to think it through.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome, and happy holidays to you. Is this your first time hearing the show?
It is. It is. I was actually going, first time I've come to this station, I am a longtime listener of the Forever Family Foundation show that follows you.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah,
how
I'm
wonderful.
A member of the foundation.
Well, I'm so delighted that you were able to tune into the show. Welcome, and I hope you'll join us again.
I will. Thank you.
You're
Have
very
a good night.
Welcome. You too. Happy holidays to you. This is Donna Sebo. You're welcome to give us a call, 888-815-9756. I want to share. Let me digress here for just a moment. I have a wonderful recipe that, I don't know about you, but with the holidays, so often we have traditional dishes that you like to serve. But and lots of sweets and goodies like that, because there's so many wonderful bakers and cooks in this world. How about something a little bit different that would tickle your taste buds? How does spicy coconut shrimp stew with tomatoes and cilantro sound? Well, get that pad of paper and pen handy, because I'm going to share it with you. So easy to make. And it's going to be a shift from sometimes the heavier fare that often comes with the holiday season. But I've got a wonderful story that I would like to share with you that was titled A Santa Cover-Up. Does it intrigue you? Aha! Well, I'm going to be sharing that with you. This is about a gentleman by the name of Paul. His sister, Missy, relates this story. She said he's one of the kindest people that she has ever known in her life, and he absolutely loves Christmas. And he really gets into the joy of giving, she said. Missy said he just glows. It just always has felt this way about the Christmas holiday. And she said, you'd never know that he's Jewish. Yeah, he's Jewish. Now, she said, years ago, two of her brother's best friends gave him a dime store Santa suit. Now, from the moment he put it on the very first time, he got into the role. Every Christmas Eve thereafter, he'd put on the suit, and he had a cotton beard, the plastic belt, and he was Santa Claus. He absolutely loved being Santa Claus. Now, the very first few Christmases that he did his Santa role, he was visiting the children's ward in various hospitals, handing out candy canes, and just absolutely delighted interacting with the kids, because they knew that he had found them. So many of them were so sick and just having so many challenges. Well, he practiced his ho, ho, ho until it was really deep, rich, full. He even had a huge set of bells that he bought to go along with his performance. And just ringing those bells, the kids would get so excited because they knew that Santa was coming their way. He was going to come into the room. Now, usually, by the time he finished making the hospital rounds, Missy said by the time he got home, he was so worn out. His voice just was almost non-existent. But he was beaming. He was so happy. He just felt like he was doing something very special. Well, one year he decided he was going to add an unwed mother's shelter to the list of places to visit. And the children in that unwed mother shelter often sat upon his lap telling Santa what they wanted for their Christmas underneath the tree. And then they often got a picture taken. And then he also added some of his friends who had small children. And they would arrange it so that the children would catch him leaving gifts in their stockings. So this was really getting to be quite a performance period in his life. And, of course, he deepened his Santa voice, and he only would say a few words so the kids would know it was him. And to this day, Missy said, some of these kids believe they were really visited by Santa. Well, there was a particular Christmas where there was a very special miracle that occurred. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll share with you that Christmas miracle that Paul, the Jewish Santa, experienced. So we're coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Quickly, I want to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking with Bob Curran in Scotland, and we're going to be discussing man-made monsters. Bob is a repeat guest on the show. He's a historian, and oh, he comes up with the best stories about how myths and certain personalities, if you will, developed into myths that people are very, very strong with today. So we're going to have a wonderful time, and I hope you will join us tomorrow. All right, let's go back to Paul, the Jewish Santa that for years has brought a lot of joy and happiness to so many people. Well, there was a Christmas not that long ago where something very special happened. One of Paul's favorite things to do after he finished his Santa work would be to go home and just curl up in bed with his dogs and his wife and watching the movie It's a Wonderful Life. It was one of his favorite movies. Well, he's driving home, looking forward to spending time with his family, and he notices something. He said the streets were very quiet. His radio was playing. There was all this wonderful Christmas music. And he comes to a stoplight. Then he notices a homeless person sleeping on a bench under a few sheets of newspaper. So he drove past this homeless person, and then he remembered that he had a Santa sack in the trunk of his vehicle, and it was stuffed full of blankets so that it would really look full. What did Paul do? He turned his car around, pulled over, removed the crumbled newspapers from the sleeping man ever so gently and replaced them with a nice warm blanket. Missy said, can you imagine walking by and seeing Santa carefully covering up a sleeping man on a bench? Can you imagine an onlooker telling the new blanket owner who had covered him? Paul, when he thought about this, had a wonderful time imagining what the man's response might be when he woke up in the morning and found himself covered with a nice, new, warm blanket. Missy said her brother told her he laughed all the way home, and she said, my brother made a statement that he believes in very strongly. He said, there are three ages of a man: when he believes in Santa Claus, when he doesn't believe in Santa Claus, and when he is Santa Claus. Missy Smock is the sister of Paul, and I just thought it was a fabulous story, so I wanted to share it with you. Okay, get that pad of paper and pen ready. Don't forget, tomorrow we've got Bob Curran from Scotland, so I hope you can join me. Spicy coconut shrimp stew with tomatoes and cilantro. Oh, I love spicy food. Shrimp, coconut shrimp, ooh, it's so good. Well, how about being able to fix it at home? This is a real easy recipe, and it won't take you long to fix it at all. With a good salad and maybe some hot, crusty bread, a little bit of wine if you like that, you cannot go wrong with this. You're going to need 3 pounds of peeled and deveined large shrimp. Now, before I go any further, this will serve about 8 people. Actually, 4 real hungry people could devour this recipe. But regardless, you could cut this recipe in half if you wanted to. So just keep that in mind. 3 pounds of peeled and deveined large shrimp, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 2 tablespoons of oil. You're going to need a large red pepper, and you want to slice it into strips after you remove the seeds, of course. You're going to need scallions, 4 of them. You want to slice them very thinly. White and green parts need to be kept separate, so put them in their own little bowl. You're going to need 1/2 cup of fresh chopped cilantro, and that's going to end up being divided for the recipe. You're going to need 4 large cloves of garlic, and mince those cloves really finely. Or if you want, use the store-prepared garlic, however you want to do it. They've already done the work for you. 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes, and that's 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon or more. It's up to you, but remember, shrimp has a very delicate taste to it, so you don't want to overpower it too much. You're going to need a can, 14 1/2 ounce can of petite diced tomatoes, and you want to drain them. And you need a can, a 13 to 14 ounce can of light coconut milk. And then you're going to need 2 tablespoons of fresh lime juice and 4 cups of cooked jasmine rice. Or if you like brown rice, you can do this with brown rice too. It's just the jasmine rice has a little bit of a flavor in it. It's lighter. All right, this is all you need to do. Season your shrimp with the salt, which is only 1/2 teaspoon. Put the shrimp aside. And then you're going to want to heat oil in a five to six quart Dutch oven. And you want that over medium high. You're going to add your red pepper. And you want to cook that red pepper, stirring it until it's almost tender. And that's going to take you maybe 3 to 4 minutes. Then you want to add the white section of your scallions, 1/4 cup of your cilantro, your crushed garlic, and your pepper flakes. You continue to cook this, just stirring, and oh, it's going to begin to smell so good. That's going to take all of about 30 to 60 seconds. Then you add your tomatoes, your coconut milk, bring it all to a simmer, stirring gently, reduce your heat to medium, and you let it simmer so that the flavors will marry, and then the sauce thicken slightly. That'll take maybe about 5 minutes. Then you're going to add your shrimp, partially cover. Don't totally cover, but partially cover the pot and cook. You want to stir it frequently until it's just cooked through, and that's going to be about another 5 minutes. Then you stir in at the last minute your lime juice, adjust your seasonings. If you feel like it needs a little bit more salt, add it, and then serve your shrimp stew over rice, and then, of course, garnish it with your scallion greens and the remaining cilantro. Simple, easy, ooh, deliciously spicy, and just the right thing for a light meal. You can't go wrong with that. But I wanted to share that with you. All right, well, I do know tomorrow we are going to be sharing so many different things with you, and a little bit of information if we have the opportunity regarding videos and what you can do with them to make your life more interesting. Of course, the holidays are coming up, and my goodness, everybody's going to be having their camera mania. A tip that I'll share with you that a girlfriend of mine did, and I just thought it was very smart. She was having a big party, and she said she was so busy with everything, and it was a significant party for the member of the family, so she asked somebody, ask every one of her guests. She had a basket filled with cameras, and she said, whenever you feel like it, just go over, get a camera, take pictures, because I need to have pictures of this activity. And this way we'll have something to remember because I'm so busy. And she has a couple friends. They love to do that. They had wonderful photographs that were done of friends and family of the big event, and she didn't have to be under a lot of stress of trying to do everything herself. So just a tip I'll share with you for your holiday season. You might want to try that yourself. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll be here with you again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you manana. We'll be going to Scotland. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.